May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 1110. My times of sorrow and of joy, great God, are in thy hand. My choicest comforts come from thee and go at thy command. Hymn 1110.
Let us read from the sacred pages of God's Word, from the Gospel according to John, chapter 12. The Gospel according to John, chapter 12. John 12. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odour of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence? And given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, and had the bag, and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, Let her alone. Against the day of my burying has she kept this? For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they had heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna! Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh, sitting on an ass's colt. These things understood not his disciples at the first. But when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things are written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. The people, therefore, that was with him, when he called Lazarus out of his grave and raised him from the dead, bear record. For this cause the people also met him, for that they heard that he had done this miracle. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the world is gone after him. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honour. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this hour... But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said, an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. The people answered him, We have heard out of the law that Christ abideth for ever. And how sayest thou, The Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Then Jesus said unto them, Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. He that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be children of light. These things spake Jesus and departed, and did hide himself from them. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. That the saying of Esaias the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom is, or whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Esaias said again, hath blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, or hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. These things said Esaias when he saw his glory, and spake of him. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Jesus cried and said, He that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. Let us pray. Almighty, blessed, holy, eternal Lord God, may we truly reverence thy glorious person and being and name in our hearts as we come to worship. Dear Lord, we would desire to come to worship thee this day, in our hearts, in spirit and in truth, which we have no power over. But, O dear Lord, thou dost very graciously and very mercifully bestow it upon us as we come to thy courts. But we do pray to be in the Spirit, to know we're in the Spirit, to know thy gracious presence. Lord, thy people know the difference between thy nearness and a sense of desertion. Lord, it is by grace, but thou changest not. And whether we feel to be in season or out of season, we would draw near to God through the wonders of his provision, the only begotten of the Father. And really and truly, what a word, full of grace and truth. How we feel to need this, Lord, we do need it. Bestow it. Leave us not to become strong in ourselves, in our own religious confidence and trust. May we be humbled in all the pathway. Lord, to seek thee first, fall into thy hands, for thou layest affliction on our loins and trials in the pathway. And at times dost hide thy face, and thy word is not lively. These are solemn, trying matters from season to season. But Lord, thou dost arise. Thou dost have mercy on Zion. Thou dost love thy people. And all, Lord, we beg of thee for thy visit again and again as we come to thy house and as we go daily in our routine. Remember us, Lord, we must come and confess our many failings and sins. How it behoves us to do it. Thy people are made conscious of their sinnership and of our ruin. O Lord, it is a grievous matter. It is a pressing matter. It is a sad matter. It is a matter we could wish to throw off but cannot. Though we are deeply fallen creatures by nature, but oh, the sound of thy bowels and thy mercies, thy love toward us. O Lord, the dropping down of the rain from heaven, the sweet dew of the Holy Ghost, thy dear people live for, and thou art pleased to bestow from time to time as poor and as needy as they feel to be and know they are. So, dear Lord, we come in all our felt condition now, felt need to worship thee. Do give us that spirit of worship, that love in worship, O Lord, that trust in worship, that believing in worship. Or may it be true worship. Or save us from all the hollowness of a dead formality. May our hearts be glad, glad in the Lamb, in the mercy, the promise spoken, the word given. O Lord, we would come in thanksgiving to worship thee. Thou art our exalted Saviour. Worship the Father through thee, Lord Jesus, we desire. And O Holy Father, we plead the name of thy provision before thy face in thanksgiving. O Lord, we must acknowledge thy wonders to us, wonders of grace, wonders of mercy, sparing, helping, Lord, thou hast not forsaken. Yet we so often do feel in a forsaken condition. But Lord, we can only blame ourselves for this. Thou art that true and living God that changes not. We will bless thee this day for all thy goodness and mercies, but help us in the worship now. How we need that help now. Make us lively. Bless thy gospel. May the truth as it is in Jesus reach our hearts as living streams. May we know whom we have believed. O Lord, and may we hold fast that we have, that no man take our crown. O Lord, may we fight that good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life. Help us rejoice in the Lamb. Also, we will come now and pray that thy presence may be felt and known in our midst, in our hearts. Lift us above all outward matters, circumstances, surroundings. Or may we be drawn upwards to where thou art. Dear Lord, we do seek then thy blessing on this house of prayer as we will pray for Zion. O Lord, we pray for thy people everywhere. My servant this afternoon at Black Boys and each of thy servants on the walls of Zion. And the ministry here and thy servants that come here from week to week. O Lord, and do bless thy word in the midst here. among the friends here. Pray for those that bear office in the diaconate. Be very gracious unto them and help them, and bless them in the leading of the public worship and their families, their concerns and burdens. And especially, Lord, we would bring before thee one and his loved one in their great need at this time. Do remember her in loving kindness. Fill her heart with thy love and grace. O Lord, may the singing, the worship, the praise, the sound of heaven be in her soul, we humbly pray. And thus we have to beg ourselves for this great needful blessing before we come to the end of the journey, especially at the end of the journey, below. Lord, for it is but a change, an eternal one. Oh, do bless her friend. Remember her and the family, and support her husband and the family with thy gospel, with power, with authority. Jesus, be with them. May they know thy presence in what the unknown way ahead, what lies ahead, thou knowest. And may it be a speaking voice to all of us, all of us, a speaking voice. Lord, may these sorrows and cares be sanctified to all of us. We pray for our eternal good, for our soul's good. So remember this house of prayer. Remember our aged friends. Pray kindly, tenderly for them. O Lord, old age is not an easy matter. Lord, the inability to deal with life in an increasing weakness of mind and body, yet the trials do not decrease. O Lord, but do bless thy people. Be near them, be near their souls. Oh, may heaven be open for them. Oh, remember them in old age. Thou hast been faithful. Help them to rejoice in thy name. Be with them to the very end. Think of those in the Bethesda homes and various homes. Be near each and bless them. Lord, remember all in middle life, heat of the day, burden of business, burden of care. Lord, and do be with them day by day. And families, help them in their various pathways. Help them to cast their care upon thee in an hourly way. Be near them. Remember young people going forth in life, in business, study. Lord, do go before them and prosper them. Provide for them in all things they need. O Lord, may they be swiftly persuaded thy kingdom is not of this world. And may their affections, even in younger years, be drawn up to thee. Remember our young people, open thy hand and provide. And the little ones and the sweet babes, may they be heirs of glory. Give parents wisdom in nurturing their children, instructing their children in thy fear, in the daily routines. Remember the Sunday school here. Encourage the teachers, bless them in their labours. May there be fruit to follow. May thy word follow the young friends, the children. O Lord, and bless them, help them in their school days, in this solemn age. O Lord, what strange times we live in. Remember all dear friends in affliction, pain, suffering. Various afflictions abound. Put forth thy healing hand, where it is thy kind will. And do bless and heal and restore the many common ailments and those other peculiar solemn afflictions that do arise upon us from time to time. Lord, do hear our prayers and sanctify all these matters unto us, and grant forth thy healing, restoring hand. May we know that precious word, I am the Lord that healeth thee. May we feel thy touch, even on our bodies at times, we earnestly pray. So remember each in mercy. O Lord, Do you remember us in the pathway? Remember thy people, each we pray at this time. Whatever condition they're in, and trials and afflictions abounding, all of those in bereavement, those in mourning, those left behind, bless thy servants on the walls of Zion now. May there be that, thus saith the Lord. Holy Spirit, do come to us as a group of churches in this solemn time in which we are found. O Lord, O do bless Zion. Bless the missionaries in the earth. Have mercy on England at this time. Open the eyes of our leaders, may they be ashamed. Give them wisdom, give them understanding. Direct their thoughts, Lord. Reign over England once more for the remnant's sake. Intervene in the land for the remnant's sake. But Lord, thou hast seen fit to afflict us in the nations of the earth, affecting Zion, thy lovely Zion. O dear Lord, thou dost love thy people. Do fill our heart with understanding, fill our heart with worship. But thou hast seen fit at this time to affect us in the way we worship. But we thank thee the doors of thy house are open and we can come. Lengthen out these great mercies to us, Lord. We humbly pray. We would not take them for granted. Well, we would acknowledge the wonders of thy house and of thy word. So give us a thankful heart, Lord, for all thy tender mercies to us. But Lord, we think of our nation, our country, sunk down in ruin. Have mercy on us for the remnant's sake. Raise up those once more to go forth in the power of the Holy Ghost to preach the gospel, the word of life, with authority and power and the energy of the salvation of the Holy Ghost. So, Lord, we will be very mindful then of all thy goodness and kindness and sparing mercies to us. O Lord, answer us to prayer. Perhaps by the way, many, many favours we have. We worship thee for all thy goodness and thy kindness. O Lord, acknowledge with our mouth in the dust thy provisions. O Lord, but those great gospel provisions. Lord, thy precious blood, thy dying love, personal blessings, personal word, personal promise. Lord, a prospect. Precious Jesus, shine. Oh, we long for thee. Without thee, we are unhappy. We cannot always feel thee near. We reach out, Lord, after thee. Oh, do give us softness and tenderness. Lord Jesus, be near us. We know thou wilt not forsake, but are we among the sheep? Or we read solemnly in thy word. Lord, of those who fell away, those who endured not to the end, those who made shipwreck, those who sunk into apostasy, those who forget God. O Lord Jesus, keep me alive, keep me tender, keep me humble, keep me needy. Lord, a great mercy to be kept in need of thee. Lord, it's painful to be kept in need of thee at times. But Lord, it's a great mercy to be needing Jesus. And we do need thee. Keep us there. Draw us by thy love. So, dear Lord, we would acknowledge many, many mercies to us. Personal in the pathway, in the nation. O Lord, and in Zion, may our hearts truly worship thee. Help us at this time of pandemic. Remember thy people in deprivation, famine, affliction, war, persecution through the earth. Make us to value the mercies and peace that we generally enjoy in this evil day, but in our land. Open our eyes to see thy goodness is still toward us in England in many ways, despite the awfulness of our departures. As a nation, Lord, we are It seems almost apostatized altogether. Have mercy on us. Hear the cries of the remnant. So we would acknowledge so many personal mercies, spiritual mercies, and mercies on Zion, mercies on our families. So now, Lord, what wait we for? Hope is in thee. We do need the Holy Ghost. Oh, dear Lord Jesus, be near me. Be in our midst. Bless this house. Bless the friends. Bless thy people. Condescend. Come, we want thee. We need thee. Wash us. Wash us. Cleanse us. What a washing we need. We often feel it. Cleanse us. Pardon. Love us still. Bring us through. Bring us through. Bring us to glory. Oh, help us to fall into thy hands in all things. The unknown way. What lies ahead. Lord, and the pain of past offences, may we feel the comfort of thy being within. Thy love, thy visit. May thy word be a reality. We be found among those that simply believe in thee. May I be a true believer, true follower. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me. Lead me in the way everlasting. Cleanse us. Send us some secret thoughts. Lord, thou art he that sees us in the silent hours, the private hours. O Lord, and we have to give an account. There is a day of judgment. That precious Son of God who laid down his life. Dear Lord Jesus, thou wilt be on the judgment seat. Thou art he that will sift the nations of the earth. So we would acknowledge thee as the King in glory, and would realize what a grievous thing it is to sin and to depart from the living God. So, Lord, do bless us now. Let's not multiply words. Come, Lord Jesus, we humbly pray. Holy Spirit, be due in our midst. Bring forth the glory of the Son of God. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We ask and plead all things in the worthy name, the only begotten one, and ask all things in his name and for his sake. Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus, we ask in thy worthy name, before the throne. Amen.
Hymn 132. A friend there is, your voices join, ye saints, to praise his name, whose truth and kindness are divine, whose love's a constant flame. 132.
in a complete dependence upon the Lord. For we need your help and blessing. I draw your attention to the chapter we read, the Gospel according to John chapter 12 and verse 32. John 12, verse 32. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. John 12, verse 32. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. And John writes by the Holy Ghost, this he said, signifying what death he should die. The Lord Jesus spoke this a few days before he died on the cursed tree at Calvary. And as we've said, as John wrote, he said this to speak of himself and to show what he would do in dying for his people. It is a fundamental blessing to know the Lord Jesus crucified for us in a personal way. We may not receive a full blessing, a full token of it for us particularly in our hearts, but are we drawn? Are we drawn unto him? Here he speaks of, he will draw all men unto him, or unto me, he says in that personal way. Dear friends, are we being drawn to the Lord Jesus Christ? But it is important to know the blessing of Calvary, not necessarily in its full effusion upon us, but its benefit and the love of it and the realization of the nature of Christ's sacrifice for our sins. Are we drawn to this sacrifice? Now, he says here concerning himself, and it is in the account where there were those that came to him and saying, "Sir, we would see Jesus." And they came to Philip, and Philip telleth Andrew, and Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And then Christ answers. And this account is in Christ's long answer. He said, "The hour is come, the Son of Man should be glorified." Glorified. Yes, glorified in himself, in heaven above. But, friends, and glorified in Zion. But, is he glorified in our hearts, in our lives? That's the point. Is he being glorified as our Saviour, our friend, our beloved, and our husband? Is there a relationship? By grace, have we been called to follow Christ, to know him, his personal love? And he's dying for us. You know, he says, "Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. If it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." And this speaks again concerning him dying and being buried and bringing forth. And there has been fruit. Are we his fruit? Friend, are we? Am I a born fruit in Christ Jesus? These are vital matters, important matters. We cannot just let them lie to one side, can we? Can we leave them? Can we leave our thoughts? Or is our cry, the hymn writer says, "Give me Christ, or else I die." And Jesus speaks some strange things. It may seem strange naturally to our natural ear. "He that loveth his life shall lose it, And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. It doesn't mean that we don't value our soul's life. Of course we do. But it means, are we serving self or are we serving him? Do we love him more than ourselves? And do we hate our sins? Do you know what it is to be ashamed before God? To feel ashamed as a creature, forgetful of God, as a wanderer, and ashamed of the heart sins that arise. But do you love him? We may hate ourselves, but cleave to him. Is there a beauty in him? This is by grace. Friend, it is by grace. No man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him. And he says here, this drawing. Well, he that loveth his life shall lose it. That's enjoys his life indulging in himself. He'll lose that life forever and forever. But he that hateth his sin, his old nature, it doesn't mean you hate. Of course it doesn't mean you hate your life altogether. Of course we don't. We're thankful for his mercies. But dear friend, do we love him more than ourselves? Enough to forsake our own wants and wishes and fancies to follow him, the Holy One, the Holy One. We follow the Holy One of God, the one from heaven who's now returned to heaven. And, if any man serve me, he says, let him follow me. Let him follow me. This means in every respect. To serve him is a wonderful thing. It's all of grace to serve God in our dying generation. What a favour. Amidst the afflictions, the trials. These afflictions, trials, anxieties, sorrows, cares. Friend, what effect do they have on us? Do they draw us heavenward? Is eternity of greater value and worth than this life? Discomfort, these relationships, our business of the day, even our dearest, precious, loving families, loved ones. Is Jesus dearer, more precious unto us? Do we follow him? Follow him. Follow him in the word of God. Friend, these are questions, are right questions to ask. And I have to search my own heart. Is there an inquiry every day in his word? Now, I know the Lord doesn't speak with power and authority of your day. I have to say that. I know that as a fact. But his word can speak. There can be instruction. There is an exercise. We may not get anything something every day. We don't. But there is a drawing near, a worshipping, a looking into the word, instruction, the influence of God's word upon us, influence of grace. If any man serve him, let him follow me. That means in every respect. Friend, our heart, let him follow me. Our life, let him follow me. And how does that end? What comes after that? And what a wonderful word it is. What a blessed word it is. I think it was said of Mr. Popham, this statement was made. I think it was blessed to his own soul. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. Where I am, where Christ is, there my followers will be. It is to be with Christ, which is far better. Oh, beloved friends, oh, to be with Christ. Here we are this afternoon. You come from week to week. You've got your homes. We're thankful for our homes, our gardens, our loved ones. God is good, isn't he? Well, I know there are times of trial. I've been through them. I'm sure you all have. difficulties and homes and so forth and afflictions and worries. But what wonderful provisions we have in these days. But it's got to be left behind. Got to be left behind to be where Christ is. What a prospect in following him in heart. Does your heart warm to be where Christ is? Do you long for it? Where I am, says Jesus, and where I am. Where is he now? In heaven. What a glorious abode that is. Oh, friend, nature cannot understand it. We can't contemplate it. Because we're in a body of sin and death, aren't we? We're surrounded with natural things and cares. But heavenward, where Jesus is, where glory is, no sin, no temptation, no trial, no sorrow, no care, no worry about the unknown way, no anxieties. Where I am, where Jesus is, what security, what grace, what love, what peace, what joy, what realities. Saved forever, forever, forever. From what I say from myself, say from my sins, say from the bottomless pit, where I am, where Christ is, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honour. These are wonderful truths that Jesus answers his disciples when they say, there are those who have come to see thee, come to the feast. They've come to the feast, but they want to see thee. They desire to see thee. Well, this the Lord Jesus says, if any man serve me, him will my Father honour. And then he changes. Then he changes. He begins to speak concerning himself, to himself, within himself. And it breaks out. And it's been made a blessing to many of God's dear people. Now is my soul troubled. This is the same Jesus that is speaking these blessed truths of loving him, following him, serving him. Oh, dear friends, what a change. You know what it is to have a conversation and suddenly the nature of the conversation changes from a higher note to a lower, or the other way round. You know, the Lord Jesus says, speaking before his Father, and his Father's view among those that are around him, he speaks forth this grace. Now is my soul troubled. Friend, he had come to Jerusalem to die, and he knew it. We come to our last place to die, and we know it. Whether we go into an old people's home, where it's an affliction, we come to those places where there's only one thing left. We've got to come to die. You know that dear Jesus has gone before us in this way. Gone before us. He has. He has. This is grace, whether we might know him. He says, now is my soul troubled. Troubled. What a wrath. I, the pure, I, the holy, I, the glorious one, I, the Son of God, I who inherit all things, I who made heaven and earth, now brought low, now is my soul troubled. Father, save me from this hour, not to be answered. This is his inner thought. Save me from this hour. He must go through with the hour. You know, like he prayed in Gethsemane. If it be possible, but it wasn't possible, was it? If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But see the glorious one, the kind one, the loving one, that's walked the pathway of his people in submission. Friend, I've said to you before, we need submission sometimes. We need deep submission sometimes to the Lord's will. It's not easy, is it? But here, the dear Jesus knows what you need when you have to yield over to his will, whether it be a trial, affliction, sorrow, care, whatever it might be, a disappointment, whatever it is. The Lord Jesus himself has walked this way. Walk this way. Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. This cause came I unto this hour. You know, there's one thing that kept him in that way. Well, there was no escape. He was the Son of God. He could not change, of course. That's our great mercy. But love. Love to his people. They're in his heart. But when it came to it, to drink this cup, oh, how he sunk under the prospect, the awfulness, the shame, the disgrace. Ever remember, Jesus, who forgave sins, hates the sin that he forgives. It is alien to him, dear friends. The problem with us is, sin is not alien to our nature, our old nature. I believe the new creature in Christ Jesus in the heart, we do hate sin. We hate ourselves for being sinners, going after sin. We hate ourselves for it. We do hate sin because God has given us a new heart. We don't want it, even though you might slip into it. A wrong spirit, a wrong word spoken, a heart wandering. Yet we don't want it. He hates it. We hate it. This dear Jesus was being made sin for us, willing to bear the reproach charged to him. Not that he entered into it. God forbid to think that. But to bear the wrath, the iniquity, the righteous one. Can I say in this right sense, the innocent one. To bear the sins of that which was never his, charged to him. Surely this is matchless grace. Now is my soul troubled. What shall I say? Dear friends, this is the mighty God. This is the Son of God. This is a Saviour. This is he who created heaven and earth. All power given to him from heaven. Well, what does he say? He says, and what shall I say? What shall I say? This, of course, is done on purpose for his disciples and for you to hear this and to read this word in your Bibles at home. May we, friend, are you affected by Scripture? Oh, may we be affected. Or may the word of God ever be an influence upon us. Father, save me from this hour. What a prayer. What a statement. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Never, never, never get used to thinking about Christ's sufferings and Good Friday and so forth. Or may we never get used to Jesus' sufferings as if we know all about it and we don't need to hear any more about it. Beloved friends, oh, the sufferings of Christ, the terrible suffering. What a wrath was upon him. And we, if we're taught of the Lord, will know God's hatred to our sins. When it will make us submissive to correction. You will be given measures of submission to correction. Because of we realise what an awful thing sin is. By grace we do. It's a great mercy. And to think the dear Redeemer was willing to be charged for this thing he hated, the Holy One. I know, see, in the flesh, it's very difficult for us. The new heart doesn't want it. It hates that principle. But you've still got an old nature that gets used to it. Doesn't think anything about it. Doesn't even see it as sin sometimes. Well, what a mercy is grace working in the heart. And are you drawn to Christ? You know, the way out of some of these temptations and sins and worldliness is drawn to Christ. What a greater love is Christ than this world. And you've known it. And you know it's true. drawn to a greater love and rejoicing than this world can ever give us. That is lasting. That satisfaction. That is eternal. But this cause came unto them. Then what does Jesus say? Direct to his Father. He looks away from around his disciples up to heaven. Father, glorify thy name. What can I say? I've come to this hour. What can I say? But your Father, glorify thy name. See the oneness, the union with Christ and his Father. He says, Father, glorify thy name. That's his one mission, to do the will of his Father. Now that's love. The love to his Father and love to his church. He loved all those the Father gave to him. He loved them with an everlasting love. And he loves some poor sinners here to seek after him, cry to him, long to know more about him, feel ashamed of themselves, their forgetfulness. Do you get through the end of the day sometimes at home or work, whatever, say, I've been so forgetful of the Lord. I've hardly thought about him. I've been so busy today, been on the phone most of the day, loads of this, that and the other problems, and had this to do, and I've had that to do, and that had to be attended to. Come to the end of the day, where's the Lord in it all? He watches over. He came to the hour. He came to redeem. But his honour was to his Father. And beloved friends, your heart will be to him, the Lord, to him, in love to him. Even as you feel to have failed every day, end of the day, still your soul turns to him whom your soul loveth. Despite your infirmities, he draws, you see, he draws. No man can come to me. That means pray to me at the throne of grace. Venture to the throne of grace. Look into my word. That's how we go to Christ. Of course, there is a literal following him daily in prayer in the pathway. No man can come to me except the Father which sent me. Draw him. Draw him. And he that cometh into me will in no wise cast out. No wise cast out. Friend, you go into Christ. He said, no wise will you be cast out. No why. No way whatsoever. That's grace. That's grace. The trouble is here, friends, we look within ourselves and say, well, that's wrong. Oh, that we might be looking to Jesus more and more. A friend of publicans and sinners. Father, save me from this hour, but this cause came unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Now God answers with an audible word. It would be in a language God spoke from heaven, in the language that the Jews were speaking, which I take to be Hebrew, although there are some questions on this, but that I leave. It doesn't matter. Then came there a voice from heaven. God spoke from heaven in a language away that saying that they heard and understood. I have both glorified it and will glorify again. And he has. He's already glorified it in the mercy he's shown to those who came to him, who he healed. Friend, has he glorified his name in you already? He'll glorify again. He will. He'll glorify again. You may fear he will not, but he will. What is it to glorify his name, himself? Love. Precious love. Christ loved. A sense of his grace reaching you. A healing, a touch, a help, a mercy, a deliverance, an answer to prayer. Friend, the fullness of the gospel, Christ in you, the hope of glory, Christ in you. Isn't it a miracle? How is he in you? By grace, by the Holy Ghost. He's with his people. He never leaves them. He's around them. The fear of God in the heart. acknowledge a desire after Christ. You know, his word in you, in life and power. That's Christ in you, hope of glory. Came a voice from heaven saying, I've both glorified it and will glorify it again. You know, dear friend, if he's glorified it in your life, his name, he will glorify it again forever and ever. You may have to wait a while. I do not know. I have no idea. I don't know what the Lord, well, be very careful, has before me, what his purpose, I have no idea. But there's one thing I want to know, him to be with me now and to be mine and forever. None of us know what lies ahead, do we? None of us know. Yet, he's the one thing needful. That brings us to that intense need of knowing him now, isn't it? Exercise to know him more now and to have his presence and grace with us. The people, therefore, that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said an angel spake to him. You see, Christ knew some of those around you, but not all of them did. It appears from this they did not understand that voice from heaven. But Christ spoke up again. He said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Friend, that's the gospel. And Christ came, not for his own sake, but for our sakes, and to do his Father's will, to glorify his Father's name. Ever remember that? Is the Father glorified in our lives and hearts through Jesus' blessing to us, through Jesus' love? I know we cleave to Christ and Christ must be exalted, but is the Father glorified in us? Beloved friends, he is being glorified in you. God is being glorified in you as Christ is being glorified in you. These are tremendous mercies. You know, don't shy away and say, oh, I don't understand. Friend, you want them. You may not understand them wholly. Are you in need of them? Friend, he will come and bless you and will be glorified in you by and by. This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out in the church, in his people forever. Now I know he was cast out in the old patriarch times and Isaiah's and times, Old Testament times, but there was a place where the victory was obtained, and that was Calvary. That's where the Old Testament saints looked to, and that's where we in this new century, look back to, or look to heaven for, where Christ is. That fullness of that gospel in life and power. You know, it was an offering forever, and the savour is that which blesses the church today and runs like a river through the church of God to bless them as we're living waters and hope. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. I suddenly realise I haven't really got round to the text, have I? I ought to have done sooner. You know, the Lord Jesus, as recorded by John earlier, said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Now we know he was lifted up at Calvary, which is what Jesus is speaking of in our text. But is he being lifted up in your heart and in your affections? Because he goes on to say that whosoever, are you thankful for those whosoevers? Friend, are you among the whosoever? Venturing hard, behold you come, reaching forth unto those things which are before, that whosoever, it includes poor sinners, you know, it includes the poor, the needy, it includes the afflicted, includes the sorrowing, the anxious, whosoever, what a whosoever it is, may it reach someone's heart, whosoever,
That may include you, friend. Whosoever. Have you had to come in this way? Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. It's a great mercy to realise the drawing to the well of Bethlehem, to draw the living waters. It's for some such as we are. Such as we are. Who are we? We're nobodies. You're taught you're a sinner, you're taught to be worthless in yourself. But whosoever. It's drawing, isn't it? You're among those, whosoever. And you know, he says, whosoever believeth in him, shall not perish, but have eternal life. You know, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Almost a repetition of the same truth, blessed truth. Who are you? Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. It's the end of Scripture, that is, you know. You know, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. The world might through him be saved. Yes, he's coming again to condemn. But in his advent then, as Christ was speaking, he hadn't come for condemnation. He'd come to save. And we live in the age that follows that salvation before the age, forever and ever, of judgment has come. And friend, it is a judgment day that even the saints face, but all to be found in him. You know, he that believeth on him is not condemned. What a word. He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already. What a contrast. His dear people face these realities. What a mercy to be found coming to drawn. And after be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men. Friend, Christ and him crucified. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he reminded them that when he came amongst them, he was determined to know nothing among them. And that was the essence of his preaching. Yes, he had to deal with the Corinthians for church disorders and all sorts of things and other matters in the pathway. We have to be dealt with the same sometimes. But he was determined to know nothing among them save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Why did he say that? Because of the vital nature of the necessity of Christ dying for me. Christ dying for me. And as Jesus said, and it's a hard thing to understand, he that taketh not up his cross daily and followeth me is not worthy of me. You see, it is following Christ and him crucified to the world, to this world below, to everything below, that Jesus might be all in all. Those who know not the Lord, that's a very hard saying. And I know it is. And I sympathise in a way, but it is true and real. To know Jesus crucified is a vital necessity to get to glory. There, it can be a blessing, not revealed Christ on the cross necessarily, but to feel the forgiveness of sins, his love coming from Calvary, his blessing from Calvary. You may not have a knowledge or a vision, a blessing at Calvary, very precious if you have, but it's to believe in what he has said as the Saviour who's come to you. And if that is true, you will be taking up your cross and you will learn Calvary as you go along in the pathway. You will learn what it is to bear his reproach and go forth without the camp bearing his reproach. You know, the spouse said to you, draw me, we will run after thee. What a drawing, friend. What a drawing. Oh, draw me, says the spouse in the Canticles, and we will run after thee. Friend, that sweet drawing to Christ, the Son of God, drawn out to him in prayer, in meditation, in need, and a drawing in all your felt condition to healing, restoring, blessing. What thing of Christ we sung, didn't we? This is the test, and it is. What do we think of Christ? Friend, he's David's Lord and David's Son. A great miracle. Are you drawn? Friend, where are you going to be drawn to? Three things, three places where you will find God, where you will find Christ. And there he stays. One is his word. Christ in the scripture. He's there. Drawn. I'm sure many of you have had those little times when you've taken out your Bible and just have a peep in it and it's spoken. A precious moment. Sovereign. Other times you've read it and read it and read it until you're sick of reading it because you can get nothing, it seems all dead. Not that you get sick of reading the Bible, but you understand what I mean. You get frustrated, oh dear, it's not means nothing to me. I know both sides. But you're drawn. Drawn still. Friend, in his word. There is Jesus in his word, dear friends. Or is he drawing you? Is he drawing you? He's been lifted up to be drawn to. That lifting up is his dying love, his dying grace, where his blood was shed, where our salvation is. There is the putting away of sin. We're drawn there into his word to discover that great blessing. Christ dying. Friend, it's not knowing about someone just dying. Dear friend, it is living on that death. Christ in you, living in you, the hope of glory. It's a living sacrifice. It's a living love. Are you drawn into the word of God? Jesus is there. What about prayer? I know I mentioned prayer often, I said this morning, but the throne of grace. Now forgive me for repeating, because I said this morning, I'm sure. Jesus is at the throne of grace, you know. And even your Lord help me cries. You say, Lord help me. He's there at the throne of grace. Friend, you may not feel him there. You may say, when I cry and shout, he shutteth out my prayer. But I'm telling you, he's there. He's there. And I said this morning, did I not? Plead his name. Plead his name. Plead his name. Is he drawing you to the throne of grace? He's there, dear friends. In his word and at the throne of grace. There Jesus dwells at that throne of grace in this gospel age. You think of when we get in that prayerless condition, what we're missing. The exercise, the communion, the longings, the desire. Friend, what an awful state to come to. Yes, people know the difference, don't they? Yes. Yes, they do. But he's there, dear friends, when you lift up your heart to God. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Lead me, Lord, there. From the end of the earth, the throne of grace. His word and the throne of grace. Now also his house. This can be difficult because we go to chapel and we see people. And sometimes we don't have very nice thoughts about people, do we? Shame on us. What do you come to chapel for? Is it not to see Jesus? That overcomes all infirmities, doesn't it? He is in his house. Now I know we get these realizations that there is such a thing as the Lord departing from denominations or chapels or churches or whatever. And sometimes you may go to one chapel and feel, well, the Lord is there. And another time you go to another chapel and feel, well, that's not the case. Or you didn't feel it yourself. But that we have to leave, we're poor judges. But the Lord is in his house. If this is his house of prayer, then he's here. He's here. May he be exalted. Remember that, our dear younger friends, our children here. You know, you come to chapel and your mum and dad might say, well, it's God's house. Yes, God is in this house, dear children. Remember it. Jesus is in this house. If this is the house of prayer, it is the house of prayer. Well, these three places Jesus is found. May we have our faces thitherward to Zion, ever breathing forth at the throne of grace, and ever dwelling in his word to find him whom our soul loveth. Drawn, 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 drawn to Gethsemane, drawn to the judgment hall, drawn to Calvary, drawn to the empty tomb, drawn to heaven, drawn to the pages of his word. Drawn. What a blessing is drawing. It's attraction, isn't it? It's an attraction. Your soul attracted to heaven, to Christ. Many trials in religion, they're naturally not attractive, are they? I wouldn't believe you if you said you like trouble, because I don't. I don't want trouble, friends. I could do with less of it. But there it is. That's nature speaking. But it's following Christ through, and that Jesus told us, it's through much tribulation we enter the kingdom. And the apostles bring it forth wonderfully so. It is through much tribulation we enter the kingdom. You may say, why is this? Younger friends may say, why is this? This doesn't seem to tally with the attractions and the blessings of the gospel. But dear friends, his kingdom, not of this world. If it was all roses now and flowers and happiness in your life, you want to leave it, would you? You wouldn't want to be with Christ, would you? You'd like Christ in chapel and Christ in the Bible and Christ everywhere, but to leave this earth and to be where he is far better. Drawn, drawn to the Lamb, drawn to heaven. Are we drawn? And if I be lifted up from the earth, he was, where sin was forgiven, friends. Where justice was satisfied, a broken law was honoured, the penalty of a life given, a ransom price was paid in Jesus dying. It means either you will die forever or Christ bore the curse. Which is it? Has Christ borne your curse? Has he borne your curse? And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, we'll draw, sweetly drawn, into God's word. To hear him say, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. And it's true, he will. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And he will, and he will. When God speaks, friend, there is power. And I am the Lord that healeth thee, and he does, from all your sorrow and your care. How? When he shines, when he's near. Are you drawn? Are you drawn? Drawn to the throne of grace. Drawn to Zion's courts. Drawn into his word. Necessity is laid on us, isn't it? Necessity is laid on his servants and on the deacons and so forth. At God's house, there's a necessity to go and serve and worship God. It is a necessity, but it's also in love. In love. Love. Love to him, to his word. Thankfulness praise. Well, if we are drawn to him, being lifted up, friend, it will be praise, thanksgiving in our hearts, gratitude to God. Well, has he been lifted up in our affections, in our hearts, in our lives? Is he lifted up in your home, in your conversation? Now, I know it speaks of him dying, but is the cross, is Christ and him crucified, lifted up in your affection, your heart? Precious Jesus, there's my Lord. Yes, he's now risen. He's now in glory. He conquered. He conquered. He rose from the dead. He appeared to the disciples. And he's appeared to you. Appeared to you also. Shone out of Scripture. Shone out of Scripture into your heart. You've been drawn to him. And if I be lifted up from the earth on the gospel pole, yes, the cross of Christ is a sacred place, but it's a pole of the gospel as well. As Moses lifted up the serpent of the wilderness, and that's because they were murmuring, because they were sinning, because of ingratitude, for rebellion. Yet grace, as Moses lifted up the serpent of the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Lifted up on the gospel pole for your affections. Are you drawn? Drawn. Well, he has been lifted up, dear friends, at Calvary. And that has become the glorious pole of the gospel, like the serpent of brass in the wilderness. Whosoever lives feeling death will live. Feeling death will live. Whoever goes to him and looks to him will live. Will live. Believe the word. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out, Satan, that is. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me.
God willing, my Sunday school class will take place at 4:30 this afternoon on Zoom, and it will be the only Sunday school class today. There will be no service on Tuesday evening, but God willing, Mr. James Pack will preach to us on Friday morning at 10 o'clock. And next Lord's Day, Mr. Jonathan Buss is expected to preach at 10:30 and 2:30. And if, as our friends at St. Ives are unable to open the chapel today, if anyone would like the details to listen online, I have them. Our closing hymn is 174. Jesus is precious, says the word. What comfort does this truth afford? And those who in his name believe, with joy this precious truth receive. Hymn 174.
And now may the grace of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, the sweet communion, unction, comfort of the Holy Ghost, rest and abide upon us each, now, forever. Amen.